1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I talked to Norman Kent down in Fort Lauderdale today. Glad you're feeling better, Norm. It was good talking to you. Good catching up with you on all kinds of things. It was great to get all that news about the lawsuit of which I will not mention here on the air until it's finalized. It's nice to know that all that stuff, I guess, is finally getting figured out. And I do look forward to the day that I'll be able to comment on that. For those of you who are a little confused, when you do a kind of show, the kind of show that I do, people like to sue you. You know, they just love to sue you. Well, but I'm sure that you already know that this is sort of the country we live in, given what's been going on there in Washington and in Florida with the recent presidential election. Now, I wanted to say that the next time we have an election, I'd really like you guys to take that thing, that metal thing, and jam it into that freaking ballot as hard as you can. I mean, cram that, put both hands on it and push it in. And make sure that your Chad ain't dangling or ain't dimpled or ain't pregnant. So that we don't have to deal with the great vice president, a guy that I voted for. I voted for Al Gore. Guy that I supported Al Gore. So I don't have to keep looking at him doing conference calls. Now he's going to address the nation. He's going to address the nation. At 6 o'clock to talk about why it is he's got to drag this process out. I want you to stick it in like you've never been, like you haven't been laid in 10 years. Jam it in there. Take that thing and put it in the hole that you like, which is the American way. Even if you got to turn it and break it off, stick it in. Because you know the next time you say to somebody, well, I don't know, I think my Chad was dimpled, you're going to get drugged behind a truck. Hey, I think my vote didn't count. Well, why's that? I think my Chad was dangling. Okay, you asked for it. That's it. Then they don't hear from you again. Then you're in a bridge abutment somewhere in Detroit. You know, they just poured you into the floor of a new Home Depot. Just remember how good you feel when you really stick it in good. That's what you got to do, because otherwise all of this stuff is good. This stuff that's going on in Palm Beach County, Nassau County, Miami-Dade, Nassau. When did Nassau County all of a sudden pop into this thing? Did you ever hear the name Nassau County? You heard Palm Beach, you heard Miami-Dade, you heard Broward. You might have, for a while there, you heard a little bit about Volusia County, Jacksonville. You didn't hear nothing about where is NASA? Is that New York? I didn't even know where that is. I think that's Florida. They got to count that one again, because all of a sudden somebody there went, oh, you know what, hell, I did, is that what you did? Yeah, well, we didn't do that. Okay, I got to count those again. The Bahamas? So suddenly they're checking in. I got a great idea. Why don't we let everybody in the Bahamas vote on the president and let them decide it? Just give it over to all them cats with the funny-looking hats and the dreadlocks and stuff. All those cats with those wool, you know, those hats. I had one of those things. I bought it. Yeah, just give it to some guy with a big fat spliff in his mouth. I bet you that guy's got a better idea as to who ought to be president of the United States. They'd all pick Alan Keyes. Because at 6 o'clock, Al Gore is going to tell us why we should continue with the process, and he's going to tell us things that will only make us angry. Doesn't he understand this is making us angry? It's really making us angry. He's going to tell us things like this. Now, there was a partial count, and there wasn't a count. And then the thing that I heard that I thought was gorgeous, because you see, if you count it the way we've counted it, we win by 19 votes. So that's why you should count it that way. Oh, okay, well, hell, I wish you would have told me that. Go ahead, Eddie, count it that way. All right, hey, he wins by 19, like you said. There you go, there you win. Now, will you get out of here? You know what I say? We let him be president. Let Gore do it just so we can get him the hell out of here. Oh, that, well, you know what? Then he's going to have a press conference. He'll have about 15 press guys. We'll see him for 4 years. What am I saying? How about if we'll let you be president if you never come out of the White House? Just stay in there. Stay in. Don't go anywhere. And if you have to have a press conference, let somebody else. Yeah, how about Tipper? She gives it.
Al is, of course, still locked in the West Wing because he's, you know, honoring what you people wanted. You don't want to look at his kisser for the next 4 years. So there's Tipper. She's giving the press conference. I would be willing to give him the election
if he would just stay locked away someplace in the White House and we never have to deal with his cat again, because he's really bugging some people. He's bugging me. I mean, I'm going out of my freaking mind. If I'm a liberal Democrat, if I'm going out of my freaking mind, and I know a lot of you guys are saying, oh, so that's it. That's how easy you give up. Is that it, Henry? Look, I know how which side of the bread the butter's on, baby, and I know how the game's played around here. Don't give me your radical politics. I like my vote to count, okay? Last time I voted for Gus Hall, the Communist Party candidate, you know what? He didn't win. So I went Democrat instead. Just like my friend Craig Taylor here voted either for the Nazi Party or the Libertarians. They didn't win either, so he went Republican. But the fact of the matter remains, something's got to give, man. I don't want to be dealing with this on Super Bowl Sunday. Last time we had to deal with something like this on Super Bowl Sunday, it was the Gulf War. Do you remember that? Remember that? You're waiting for the ball game to start, and there's Bush giving a speech. You know, it was much, much too, it was too tense. So anyway, he's going to give a speech here at 6 o'clock, and I swear to God, you're going to hear that if it's counted the way it should be counted, we win by 19 votes, because they didn't count these pregnant chads, they didn't finish the count in Miami, they weren't allowed to finish the count in Palm Beach. Yeah, I know they weren't allowed to finish the count in Palm Beach. The reason why they weren't allowed to finish the count in Palm Beach is because the Supreme Court of the state of Florida said 5 o'clock Sunday. Well, they're full of crap. Okay, well, now I guess you got to go to the only guy that I hear about going to the Supreme Court of the United States is Bush. What's Gore going to do? The state Supreme Court said 5 o'clock on Sunday. 5 o'clock on Sunday, or it could be 9 o'clock on Monday. Well, guess what? You got the Secretary of State is a Republican. Guess which time she chose? She chose 5 o'clock on Sunday. Hey, man, I don't blame her, all right? If I was her, I'd do the same thing. What, she's supposed to do 9 o'clock? She could be fair to you, Al, is that it? Well, hell, that wasn't fair at all. All right, we'll make it 9. You know what? She should have made it 9. She should have made it 9. Now I got to deal with this, but that wouldn't have made any difference either. Not only, you know what? He's going to win by 9 votes, and then they're going to have a special butt-kissing session. Everybody's going to have to go up and apologize. Drop his pants. Give it a little smoocheroo there. On Inauguration Day, Al's going to change it. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court not only has his hand on a Bible telling him, you know, what's up and what's down, he's going to have to kiss his bright red rosy right up there on that thing in front of the Capitol building because he got his feelings hurt. How about if they make it 9 now? Well, now you better make it midnight. Okay, we'll make it midnight on a Tuesday. All right, a Tuesday. There's nothing you can do. It's like a child that you can't make happy. And it's embarrassing, really. It's upsetting. I guess one of the reasons why it's upsetting me, is I have to be honest with myself, is because I feel unsettled by it. You know, like the country is not, I've got too much at stake. I got a family, I got a job, I got a house, I got a car, I got a leather jacket, I got a pack of cigarettes. Just a few things in life that I really value. And this crap is very unsettling, isn't it okay? I don't want to live in the Philippines. Craig Taylor tells me it sucked. I don't want to live in Bolivia. Or who's this guy, this Fujimura, Peru? Wait a second. Can I ask you a question, by the way? How does the president of Peru get the name Fujimura? What happened down there? They bombed Pearl Harbor and they bombed Peru. They got Peru right. Mike says there must be a lot of Japanese there. Well, it's very unsettling. I think it's the reason why everybody's, you know, bumming on this thing. And we just want this cat to just go away. Let me tell you something. As you've all heard time and time again, Richard Nixon had the election stolen from him in 1960, or so the anecdotes go. The story is that his father, along with the Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, greased a few wheels in Chicago, got a lot of votes in Cook County, etc., etc. Nobody has ever really refuted it. It's pretty much a part of American history that the Democrats stole that 1960 election. And Nixon didn't do anything about it because his campaign manager said to him, they stole it fair and square, Dick. There is a way to steal an election in America. You do it in a very manly manner. You don't start squealing like a stuck hog when they, you know, 19 votes here, 20 votes there. Screw it. Give it to the guy. All right. Because you know what Bush is going to have to do when he becomes president? He's going to have to stick some Democrats in that cabinet. I swear to God, do you honestly think this guy is going to become president of the United States without putting a few Democrats in that cabinet after everything that has happened? Do you think that guy's going to have balls big enough to have nothing but Republicans in that cabinet of his? He has got to put Democrats. It's just all there is to it. Because this guy is going to, he's the guy that says he can reach across the aisle and work with the Democrat. I believe him. I really honestly do. This is the first thing this guy's going to have to do is stick about, how many guys are in the cabinet now? I don't know, however many there are. And a few blacks and a couple of women and three midgets. He's got a lot of people he's got to pay back. And a Jew, because the Lieberman thing. And he's got, you know, a fag because of Gore. But anyway, I'm kidding. And somebody fat because of Tipper. Okay, now. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Dick Cheney deplored the Clinton administration's regrettable decision to keep the Republican ticket from using space rented by the government for planning a presidential transition. Clinton said Monday the law prohibits giving up the space until an undisputed winner of the election emerges. Well, there is an undisputed winner of the election. The guy won the thing. He got those electoral votes. Get a load of that, man. Supposedly they released like $5.3 million to allow for a transitional team to begin its transition, to begin its the work that it needs to begin to keep one administration in and move another one out. And they won't release the bread because Clinton's messing it up. I hate that guy. I don't hate him. I mean, I voted for him too. Like I told you last week. The two times I vote for a president where I don't lose, where my guy wins, and it's Clinton. It's him. And so what do I got with him? I got a guy that's, you know, he stunk this whole thing out. He lost the election for Gore. Gore, I don't know whether this guy had a bad campaign or not. I read where the people who really shoveled the big dollars into the Gore campaign coffers, these guys are really upset saying that he ran the most rotten campaign in the history of man on this planet. I don't know whether that's the case or whether that whole Clinton stench was so malodorous, so befouled the air around him that there was no way that the guy was going to dig out from underneath that manure pile. I really think that was it. But both guys weren't able to put this thing away. Bush finally did with whatever the hell happened in Florida. I think they had a vote, then they had a recount. That's what the law called for. And then they got all these guys down in Miami-Dade who were trying to do a recount, and they had I just heard they had a lot of Republicans standing outside the door there at that Miami canvassing board, and they were pounding on the door and clapping and all that crap. All those people are down there last week. Turns out these guys were flown in from D.C. They're Republican workers, office workers for different congressmen, flown in from Washington, D.C. to stand around and look like they're a rabble, look like they're a mob, you know, like there's something like it's a Yankee game or something. And on whose dime? On the dime of the congressman. He paid for them to fly down there. So these guys are all acting. The only problem is they're all wearing ties and they're all slightly balding 50-year-old men. So that was the thing you couldn't quite buy, you know. You're always so used to when you see that stuff on TV, some guy with a rag on his head going, USA must die! USA must, or something, or burning a flag. These guys were slightly balding, paunchy, white, tied, violent, but Republican. CNN anchor Bernard Shaw says he's given a lot of thought to how his departure from the network early next year will affect the racial composition of his profession, but he says at this point he couldn't give a good sweet damn. He's leaving anyway. Screw all them brothers. All right, that's from Bernard Shaw. Walter Cronkite has a suggestion for news organizations trying to call election night winners. Slow down. Broadcast networks bungled their calls of the presidential race in Florida, where both George W. Bush and Al Gore were declared the winner at various times on election night. I don't understand the need for this speed, although I was certainly one of the progenitors of the whole idea of the exit polling. So I guess you could blame me, he said, as he spanked his own bare bottom raw with a length of cord. Nowadays, with the exit polling, we're calling these states so early that there are really some 3 hours left of voting time out on the West Coast. And it seems to me that even on the West Coast, them folks are smart enough to vote, ain't they? The electoral mayhem in Florida kind of casts all of our thinking a little differently than it had been up to this election, he said profoundly. Okay, thanks a lot, Walt. Supreme Court will allow no television coverage of its historic argument session this Friday in the Florida election case, Chief Justice William Rehnquist said. The reason? Chief Justice Rehnquist has a large boil on his lip he got from drinking a jar of yucca shared with five other friends. No, I don't know. They're not going to let it on TV, okay? You can't televise everything, all right? Relax. We're just going to have to trust that it's going to be okay.
Hey, is the Supreme Court thing on TV? No.
Well, why not? We have a right. Yeah, you have a right. You have a right to what? We have a right to see it. Yeah, but you don't understand what's going on, so what difference does it make? Well, I still got a right to look at it, don't I?
Look at what?
I always say, and I still say, one of the problems with the OJ trial, so many people were allowed to watch that trial. Now, they say that that was a real blessing for our democracy and a view into the judicial system and how our judiciary works. I say all you had was about 250 million Americans didn't know what the hell was going on. And they're all arguing. Do you ever see people arguing during the OJ trial, like sitting around cafes and stuff, throwing sandwich makings at each other? Because they didn't understand, you know, and one guy would say one thing, somebody else said something else. No, it's not what I saw today, I swear to God. OJ said, no, the glove. Why? Nobody knew what they were watching.
In a letter to C-SPAN Chairman Brian Lamb, the Chief Justice said the nation's highest court will stick to its ban on television and photo coverage in the courtroom. A majority of the court remains of the view that we should adhere to our present practice of allowing public attendance and print media coverage of argument sessions, but not allow camera or audio coverage. Because he doesn't want to look like a slob up there. He doesn't want to be another... Look, this ain't Blue's Clues, okay? This is the Supreme Court of the United States of America. While everything else in this country has gotten that kind of stink to it, you know? Everything else has kind of got sticky like a four-year-old child's hands after eating a lot of sea suckers. You know, everything else is kind of messed up. Everything else looks like my kitchen, in other words, on Thanksgiving Day. Why does the Supreme Court of the United States... Why can't they be pristine and can be, distinguished... Venerated and venerable? That's fine with me. Everything's got to have a TV camera up it. Today, TV cameras are upskirt, downskirt. We got cops busting everybody. We don't even have enough busts for the TV cameras that we got. Have you noticed cops lately is getting a little slow with that guy with the paint? How long you been doing paint, Bobby? Oh, hell, I'm not. Can you imagine that? That's a real good one there, cops. Now, that's a bust. Some guy sleeping in a shed with paint. How about a high-speed chase? How about a shootout? You're giving me this bad boys thing, and you're busting some guy who's sniffing magic markers. Well, I mean, so there you go. So the Supreme Court doesn't want to have anything to do with that, okay? They don't want to be cops. You say it can be dignified? Now, C-SPAN... I don't even know that that's a TV channel. It looks so... It is the most dignified thing I've ever seen. As a matter of fact, when that Brian Lambcat comes on there, they don't even read the news from a teleprompter. They don't discuss it from a teletype. They actually have a newspaper. You know, they're going to the newspaper and they hold the headline up. Now, here's a paper here. You can see that. Okay. Lakers trade Kobe Bryant. Now, I don't know what the hell that means, Ed, but your comments. Anyway, that's how dignified they are. Now, the Democrats show support for Gore. Congressional Democrats on Monday closed ranks behind Vice President Al Gore in his uphill battle to become the next president. Some said that while Gore faced long odds, it was too early to abandon his court challenges to Sunday's decision to award Florida electors to George W. Bush. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody just cool their jets and hang on, at least until the U.S. Supreme Court rules on hand counts, said Representative Louise Slaughter of New York. Democracy doesn't just last until people get bored with it. With Gore still narrowly trailing Bush in Florida, some within the party have urged Gore to concede and avoid a futile and politically unpopular legal struggle. Look, that would be true if the people who cast votes knew who they were voting for. She's saying that people are getting bored with democracy. No, most people suspect that they voted for Bush, meant to vote for Bush, but by accident voted for Gore. All those dimpled chads, there's a reason why they're dimpled. They didn't stick the thing through it. So they went back and they voted for the other guy. That's why everybody wants this over with. It's like, oh my God, I voted for Gore. Thank God Bush won. Move on. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, and on Thanksgiving, I barbecued two turkeys. One was soaked in some sea brine. I don't know. My wife bought these things, and she got them at the supermarket, and we ordered them fresh, and she called them up and said we'd like two fresh turkeys, which, of course, they were frozen when we got them. You know, I'm the kind of guy, I go nuts about all that little stuff. I'll live so much longer if I just relax. Just relax, Hendry. Yeah. Yeah, you ordered them fresh. And guess what? They came frozen. What are you going to do? You going to go down and beat up the butcher in the meat section? Am I going to go down to the manager of the supermarket of which, the name of which I will not mention, and, you know, punch the guy out? What am I going to do? But I remember on Thanksgiving, I said, well, these things are partially frozen. Well, we got fresh ones. Yes, we did get fresh ones. Well, it's not supposed to be frozen. God, I mean, what is wrong with me? I'm going to go get a butter knife and hack at my wrists. It's frozen. It wasn't that frozen. It was part of it was frozen. So one of them was soaked in a brine. I think it was kind of an interesting thing. You know, brine, like a pickling, not really a pickling brine, but a salt water. Craig says, relax and smoke a spliff. What I did was I relaxed and had a Heineken at 9 a.m. So I take the big spit from my barbecue, the big long skewer, and I drive it through these babies, and I lock them into place. And suddenly it's me and Chris, who's the 11-year-old, we're going outside to the barbecue, hoisting these things over our shoulders. We looked like a couple of aborigines, just, you know, with these two wild things. And I'm going, God, this is cool. I feel kind of wild. Even though I'm wearing my, you know, I'm wearing my Val Surf Shop baggy surf shorts, and, you know, I'm going out to my, you know, barbecue, and I'm in the middle of suburbia. I ain't got no wild game. I got it, you know, almost fresh at a supermarket. But anyway, I put that thing on, and now the guy says to me, the guy that I talked to about this thing, Bobby Flay, no, I'm just kidding, the guy that I called up and talked to, a guy I respect, how do you do that? Well, okay, here's what you should do, man. Turn on the lower burners, turn on those infrared burners, for 30 minutes do that. Okay, and then you put that, you lock it into place, and you turn on the rotary, and it very slowly begins to turn. Turn on those lower burners, turn on the back burner. That's exactly what I did, and I closed the lid. He says, now do that for 30 minutes before you turn off the lower burners, then set your pans of water in the bottom, and then go to town. Well, this brine, for some reason, the dripping, because it was moist, it was dripping more, caused a grease fire. And so when I got back, one of the birds was almost black. Well, part of it. But it was fine. It was just the skin, you know? Yeah, I've got this infrared barbecue. No, it wasn't. It's not on the space shuttle. I have these really cool infrared burners on the back. They're really awesome. So this thing's on fire. So I turn that off, and we continue the turning process very delicately there with the infrared heat. Now, every 20 minutes, I had a marinade of olive oil and crushed garlic and some turkey spice crap that Maria bought. And I would brush it on every 20 minutes, you know. And finally she says to me, you know, you don't have to go out there every 20 minutes to do that. You can check it every, you know, whatever, 40 minutes. I said, well, it's so much fun, you know. Going out there, brushing it on, give me a chance to get another beer. Halfway through the cooking of this thing, I'm blind. You know, I'm just, okay, gotta brush it on some more. So, what happened was, because this one had been soaked in brine, it was fatter than the other one, and it began to hit the top rim of the barbecue. And I noticed the motor. I would walk up, and I'd see the motor just all of a sudden stop dead. And I'm going, okay, Maria! God damn it, Maria! What? The rotor, the motor on the rotisserie's broken! Now we don't have fresh, turkeys, and the motor's broken! Well, maybe it's too fat, and it's hitting the thing, and it's stopping it. Oh, yeah. All right. So fortunately, we grabbed some hangers and we turned them into wire and we tightened them around the turkey, and that squeezed the legs and the wings in, and did the same thing in that one. And it was gorgeous. After that, turned it on, motor worked, everything was fine. Kept that baby going for about 3.5 hours. Turned it off, turned the heat off, and let it continue to kind of spin in there. And I think I cooked one of them just a little bit too much. It was a little dry, but the other one was fantastic. So that's it, man. But the thing was, like, after getting it scorched originally, you know, it was kind of, one was blacker than the other one. So the kids were all, what happened to that one? Well, it's really good. Eat it. I don't want to. Come on. It's good. No. But you know what? We polished both of them off. I had 20 people over. They were 15-pound turkeys. I've never had a Thanksgiving where every ounce of bird got eaten. I mean, there's always some leftovers, right? What about you, Mike? You guys must have had some leftovers, did you? And you had a lot of people in your family. I bet you guys did too, Melissa. Would you have 20 people over Mark's house? We didn't have any. The next day, I go in there looking for it. Nothing. My wife makes this stuffing that's completely out of this world. She makes a wild rice stuffing with red wine sauce. And, oh, man, it's freaking out of this world. I go, okay, I'm all ready for a little leftovers. That it's gone. All gone. All of it? All of it gone. Potatoes, everything gone. I said, those pig relatives of yours. Well, isn't that why we invited them over here? Yeah, well. Yeah, but did they have to eat as much? I should have gone from person to person. Don't eat too much. Don't you go big. Don't get any more of that bird, man. It's mine. No leftovers over there, but it was really cool. And had a lot of nice people there. We had a pool tournament, and then, of course, well, that was a whole different other thing. We were shooting pool, and one of the kids lost, and one of the uncles rubbed it in. One of the kids lost a big pool game, and one of the uncles who was heading back home rubbed it in. He left a note saying, really sorry about smoking you like a cheap Mexican cigar in that pool tournament. So here you got a child who's really kind of upset about losing this pool game, and the uncle, who's like pushing 40, hey, dear so-and-so, sorry I smoked you like a cheap Mexican cigar in that pool tournament. And then that drives the kid in even more depression. Yeah, you gotta do that. Yeah, well, he did smoke you. I mean, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And all of this stuff. We finally had to kick him out of there. You know, because on a long Thanksgiving weekend, when you have people in from out of town, everybody starts laying on the floor and sleeping in your kitchen, and they're, you know, they're everywhere. You know, they're sleeping in bathrooms. You have to come on, move, go, go. But we had a lot of fun, and that was the first time that I ever personally supervised the cooking of a Thanksgiving turkey. And other than the fact that I blackened it the first half hour, it wasn't too bad. In fact, I enjoyed it so much. That whole rotisserie thing, it's just, you know what it is, man. It's very primal. It's something that it's a guy thing. And to be able to stick a roast on there and cook that thing, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do prime rib next. What do you mean? It was a Cajun Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. That was what I was looking for, Mike. Blackened turkey. Bring it over to Phil's house. I'm going to do like prime rib or something. Or what else can you cook? Like a whole beef, a cow, I don't know what, a dog. Maybe kid. They were saying, you know, hey, that's a pretty big rotisserie. Well, stick the kids on that thing if they get out of hand. Right about that, Phil. Or we got all of these caneos running around out there, a lot of rabbits. Maybe have one of the kids shoot a rabbit, and you got that rabbit thing going on, or like Harrison Ford in 6 Days and Seven Nights, kill a peacock, or just Anne Heche. I don't know who. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686.
Think all DSL service is the same?
Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Well, I guess just about everybody, just about everybody here is waiting for the address by Vice President Al Gore. I say everybody here except me, which means my engineer, my producer, and Melissa, everybody's going to go into another room and watch Al Gore, and I'll just be sitting here talking to myself again. But that's all right. Supposedly, the Vice President will address the nation as to why he should be president at about 5 minutes before the hour. So he'll get on there and tell us how this is really a cool thing that we're, you know, that he's doing. And just you wait and see. When everything is done, he'll be president, and we'll be happy about that. That'll be a good thing. He'll win by 3 votes, and yay, it's a landslide. Whatever it is he's going to say, man, anybody really want to hear it? Unless he's going to say, I concede. I don't, at this point, want to see this guy as president now. I'm frightened that I cast a vote for him. Worried and frightened that I cast a vote for this guy. George W. Bush is seriously considering removing his petition before the Supreme Court, a senior Bush source said late Monday. We need to begin the healing. Don't you love that phrase? Let's begin the healing. Yeah, and we need to begin the healing. Grab some Preparation H. The source told the Drudge Report from Austin. We need to begin the healing, grab some Preparation H, said the source. And the governor would love for this to end. There's that word again. And end now. He'd be willing to drop the Supreme Court and all other court actions if the vice president would just screw off. The source cautions that Bush would still proceed full steam ahead at the Supreme Court level if Gore continues to challenge Florida Secretary of State Katherine Harris' certification. But if he doesn't, then they won't. But if he does, they will. Bush's separate constitutional challenge to recounts, which the Supreme Court declined to hear, but which is still awaiting a hearing in the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. On Monday, Bush asked the Atlanta-based 11th U.S. Circuit, blah, blah, blah. This also comes down to who's voting. You know, there used to be poll taxes and things like that. Well, you shouldn't have to do that. They also used to have a literacy test, didn't they, to be able to vote? And that was ruled unconstitutional. It was ruled unconstitutional. It's one of the reasons why they got rid of that was it was impeding the ability of some poor people, particularly poor Southern black people, from voting. So poll taxes and literacy tests and all that bullcrap was considered unconstitutional and was thrown out. It's like, I'll give an example. The kids at school, in order to vote in their class elections, were asked to bring a couple of cans of food for the poor. And so Maria and I, we go, well, wait a second. You know, naturally, we got to turn this whole thing into a big deal. What's this all about?
Well, we have to bring 2 cans of food for the poor so we can vote in the school elections,
which is to vote for president of homerooms. So we said, well, you shouldn't have to do that.
Why?
Well, because that's unconstitutional. You shouldn't have to pay something to vote.
Well, but we're learning how to be a part of the democratic process.
Well, I understand that. And if you're learning how to be a part of the democratic process, you shouldn't have to bring 2 cans of food for the poor to vote in your election.
Just give me the baked beans and bug off.
Well, okay, here you go. So we're making a big deal out of that thing. But the point being, those standards are ruled unconstitutional. However, given this election, maybe they ought to start reinstituting some of that stuff. Can you read? Can you walk, Ed? Are you all?
Yeah.
Come on. Just anything. I don't need to have.
Well, it's unconstitutional if you think I have to be literate.
No, you don't have to be literate. Can you see a hole? Do you know how to put a thing in a hole? Anything, something, some media, some just basic, rudimentary, elemental function. Can you punch a Chad out? Do you know what a Chad is? Is your name Chad? Where's Chad on a map of Africa? And did it ever occur to the people who figured out this butterfly ballot that some of the people voting are legally blind? We have blind people in America, you know? They come down from the house where the blind people live. How do the blind folks vote? There's some people who are, you know, they're just, it's, you know, pin the tail on the president. 1, 2, 3, and... Did I get it? You're off a couple. All right, let me try it again. 1, 2, 3. How about that? No, no. And by the way, they got some guy in the booth with them saying, hey, I'll help you out, Harry. Who are you voting for? I'm voting for Gore. Sure, yeah. Did I get it? Yeah, right through. You got it in Gore. He's putting it in the bush. Got a friend of his going to mess around with his mind. He's in there. Yeah, sure, you voted for Gore. Don't worry about it. Everything up and down the line, it's Republicans. He'll never know. How many blind folks do you think we got in America? And how many of them vote? And how many of them voted in Florida? How many of them voted in Palm Beach? I bet you there's millions, hundreds of millions. All you got to do is look at the way people drive around here. They all got to be legally freaking blind. Every last one of them is blind. So they have that. So there's a lot of things. So there's got to be some. I don't know. It seems to me blind people shouldn't be allowed to vote. I'm just kidding. And naturally, do you think it's a coincidence that this happened in Florida? All the jokes, all of the ha ha ha, all the giggles about the blue hairs. Yeah, it's all a big riot. But when push comes to shove, this is what we got. Do you think it's a coincidence? It's happening in Palm Beach County? In Retirement Row there? I mean, come on. You got people with those plastic wraparound sunglasses. You know the ones that either look really cool or you had cataract surgery. Pick one. We're not sure. You know, my father-in-law had them on the other day. He had those wraparound shades. I said, those are almost cool. But if I wear them, people are going to think, can I help you through the door? And if I'm wearing them driving a car, freaking cop is going to go nuts. I don't wear them because they look cool in Palm Beach County. Anyway, there's a whole reason why this is happening down there. One of the reasons, I think, is that, hey, I tell you what, we got a whole lot of senior citizens voting, got a lot of retired people voting. Let's make the ballot really confusing. What do you think, Ed? Yeah, okay, great. Yes, you gave it to 7-year-olds? Yeah. Well, they're 7. These are old folks. They can't see. They can't read. They can't hear. They can't. There's nothing. There's not too much. The motor sensory, all that whole, part of their brain is shut down. I think they ought to just tell them that they voted and just take them all out the back and throw them in a dipsy dumpster and set fire to them. Did I vote? You sure did, Charlie. Way to do it. All right. Meanwhile, all the votes are just in a bag. Put them out on the beach and start a bonfire and dance around them in the moonlight. Melissa's in there going, yeah. Look, what do they do with all those letters to Santa Claus that the little kids write? They had to do the same thing with the ballots of those old folks who couldn't get the thing. I mean, you take whatever you do with those letters to Santa Claus, do the same thing with the ballots of those old folks who couldn't put the thing through the thing or the chat or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. Because the reason why this is making us angry is that it defies the one's adult comprehension of such things. I know exactly what a punch card looks like. I know exactly. I've used them before. I've seen IBM processing machines. My father sold them when I was a kid. That was his business. He sold business machines. And some of them were those big IBM punch card machines, processing machines, the very, very early, the forerunners of the smaller computers that we have today. That's what they were. And I know exactly what it looks like when it punches out. And when you got to stand there and tell me that you don't know what one looks like punched out, that maybe it's dimpled and maybe it's hanging by three corners, it starts to insult your intelligence a little bit. And I don't have a whole lot of intelligence to insult, but it's insulting mine. Now I'm looking at gore on TV. Are we going to carry this? No. We don't believe in equal time. I'm going to talk about what a slob I think he is, and the rest of you guys can watch him do whatever it is he's doing. Is he standing in front of a couple of flags? Am I to believe that this guy is the leader of some nation? He's the vice president. Is he addressing me as the VP, or is he addressing me as Al Gore, father, husband, friend? Cover a Rolling Stone. I don't know. Anyway, we got to get into the next hour here and screw all of this stuff. So that's the news as we have it. Al Gore, father, friend, Rogaine user. Anyway, it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and then they're going to sit there and do a number with that, and hopefully, in the name of God, it'll be over in a couple of weeks. They got to certify this whole electoral thing by, what, December the 12th, is it? Or is it the 8th? Maybe it's the 6th. I've heard about 10 different dates. And, of course, if I would actually pick up a book and learn something about the electoral process, I could tell you what the date is, but I'm too lazy. Oh, it's the 12th. Electoral College meets on the 12th, and then they decide. And then, Al, what are you going to do then, man? Are you going to go to the Chad Supreme Court? I think he'll probably appeal it to The Hague. It's a war crime. I know. Get the Simon Wiesenthal Center on it. Every vote should be counted. It should be, but you can't because they didn't punch the Chad out. I punched a guy named Chad out once. It's Phil Hendry Show.